Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, you know, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Lord, when I tried to think about all that you are about, it's beyond my puny and finite mind. Lord, the only thing I can do, because I can't wrap my mind around it, but the only thing I can do is just fall on my face and say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Genuine Christmas Lights, the Promised Light. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Genuine Christmas Lights, the Promised Light.
We're continuing our theme on Genuine Christmas Lights, Genuine Christmas Lights. This morning, we are looking at the promised light. Last week, we looked at the prophetic light. And I would encourage any of you that missed that message last week that you get a copy of it, because it gives a very strong apologetic for the Bible. And people are attacking the Bible all the time. They're saying that there's errors in the Bible. They're saying that people had added things to the Bible, that the Bible's been corrupted. And so we addressed all that last week in the sermon. So if you, and I know in the circles that I run in, that I'm seeing it all the time where the Bible was just being systematically attacked and destroyed. And we as believers, if we don't know how to give a defense, that if we, you know, God help us, if we sit in venues where the Bible was attacked, and you know, we don't understand how to rise up against those attacks. You know, again, I'm not saying that, you know, we have to be violent. I'm not saying that we have to be militant. But as Paul said, that we would be able to give an answer with gentleness and respect. And so that as we defend the Bible, that we can do it out of a heart of love, realizing that people are deceived, that the devil has deceived a lot of people. And one of the great deceptions is to cast aspersions on the Word of God. And so we talked about that last week. Today, we are going to talk about the promised light, the promised light. Jesus Christ is the promised light. Now, we have two scriptures this morning, and they were reflected on at various times in the sermon today. We're going to start back in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And remember, Isaiah is writing about the 8th century B.C. So Isaiah is actually writing 800 or 900 years before Christ came. All right? So as he writes way back when, he says this: "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vindication, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in the Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That they dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." So you read that and you say, man, what in the world is Isaiah talking about? It seemed like a bunch of stuff that's over my head. But remember, he said it. And we need to realize that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so we read things in the Old Testament And that's why we need the New Testament, because the New Testament shines light on the Old Testament. So let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And we see almost the same thing that we read in Isaiah. And it says here in verse 13, now leaving Nazareth, he came to dwell in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. So we heard that somewhere just a little while ago, right? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people who sat in darkness saw great light. And to them who sat in the region of the shadow of the death, light sprang up. Oh, hallelujah. And now let's tie that thing together, right? Because in verse 17, it says what? Wow. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. My, my, my. Isaiah gave a prophecy that was relative back in his day, but few understood it. But when Jesus came and he began to walk across the face of the earth, behold, it said that a light came forth. The promised light that came forth, which is what we are talking about today. Look at that slide. Jesus Christ, the promised light. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is springing up. Hey, 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 hey! I got some good news for you this morning. The promised light is here. Amen. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, nobody gets excited about this word this morning that I'm going to be excited about it. I'm excited about this word today. The promised light. And you know why I'm excited? Because if you look at it, lights are symbols of hope. Lights are symbols of hope. Robert Russell, one of the great preachers of our day, he said this. A person lost in a dark cave turns a corner and is relieved to see a ray of sunlight breaking through a crack. Amen. Amen. A person adrift on a life raft in the middle of the ocean at night is excited when he is able to say, I see the light on a ship on the horizon. People in darkness are delighted to see the light. Now, you know, the only people in darkness that are not delighted to see the light is people that love darkness. If you love being in the dark, then you don't want to see the light. But if you love the light, then anytime that the light comes, that you get excited. And we sang it this morning. We sang it this morning about the light and about the hope that comes. I challenged us this a couple of weeks ago about that term Ebenezer, that we sing that word Ebenezer, stone of help. And sometimes we sang that over and over again and didn't really know what Ebenezer meant. So we broke that down for you. So this morning, it's very easy. Here's another song that we can sing and really not grasp the reality of what the song means. And so we look at the first verse of this song. And look, I put it up here because I wanted to show that lights are a symbol of hope. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the, what kind of streets there? Dark streets shineth the everlasting light. I love this right here. The hopes and fears of all the year. Isaiah, "Behold, a light shall shine in the darkness over the dark land of Zebulun, a promised light." And then we travel 700-800 years, and we see in the quietness of a Bethlehem night the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. What a powerful, you know, we sing songs, and do they grip us like that? Do we stop and really meditate on that word hope, that the hope that we have, that the hope of salvation, that the hope of deliverance is met in thee tonight? Jesus Christ is the hope. I love this one poster that I saw, and it talks about Jesus Christ. It says, "Warning, exposure to the S-O-N may prevent burning." Exposure to the S-O-N may prevent burning. But the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. When we talk about messianic prophecy, that's what we're dealing with today. So we, you know, here's where we get a little deep. And we talk about messianic. What is messianic prophecy? All right. A very important part of theology, and that we need to understand what messianic theology is. If anybody ever asks the child of God, you know, what is messianic prophecy? We ought to be able to give a definition. Now, I gave you a technical definition there, but let me simplify this definition and basically say that messianic prophecy are verses in the Old Testament that talk about a Messiah. And those verses were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's messianic prophecy. That the verses in the Old Testament that talk about a Messiah. And that's something that Jewish people and Christians all agree on, is that there is a Messiah that's spoken of in the Old Testament. Now, you come to the New Testament, and the Jewish people will say, well, we're still waiting for the Messiah because he hasn't come yet. And so they still look for Messiah. But we as Christians, we know that what? The hopes and fears of all the years were met in thee tonight. So messianic prophecy, very simple, is the verses in the Old Testament that spoke about the Messiah were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's messianic prophecy. So I hope that's a definition that we would all remember. And if you ever run across that again, if anybody ever asked the child of God, what is messianic prophecy, that you will know what it is. Now, when we think about messianic prophecy, we see that it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And all according who you read or who you follow, some people say there are over 100 prophecies in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in Christ. But one guy actually discovered over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's a pretty good ratio when you look at one out of every one has been fulfilled in Christ. And the ones that still point to a future day will one day be fulfilled in him. Now, let me show you this, because we have a lot of modern day prophets, right? And let me just show you about these modern-day prophets. They are not 100% accurate, but yet and still, people will listen to them. People will follow them. You know, people will go see Miss Cleo and Mr. Leo and try to get their fortune told, right? Instead of going to the Word of God that has prophecies in it that tells the future, and the future comes true every time. There was a person, Jane Doherty, a self-proclaimed psychic, and the author of the book, Awakening the Mystic Gift. she predicted that Rudy Giuliani would be the Republican nominee for president and Barack Obama would be out of the race by the end of 2007. We know what happened to that prophecy, right? All right, but yet and still, people gave her credit. They gave her worth. She had a reputation, but her prophecy did not come true. If you look at this one right here, Sylvia Brown, and she was a regular on Montel Williams' show. If you remember Montel, that he always had Sylvia Brown on there. And she was on his show on December 27th, 2006. And she made these predictions for 2007. She predicted that a tsunami would cause flooding in the United States in 2007. And didn't happen. She predicted a tsunami might hit New York. And didn't happen. She predicted that there would be a major volcanic eruption in Mexico. And didn't happen. She predicted that some type of terrorist attack involving trucks and trains in the United States. And didn't happen. So yet and still, I believe in 2008, she was back on Montel's show predicting again, and people were still listening. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, I was reading one thing where somebody had been kidnapped, and she predicted that they suffered a brutal death, and because their loved ones were still holding out hope, and she predicted that the person suffered a brutal death and was no longer alive. 4 years later, the FBI found the person was kidnapped by an individual and was living in Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, again, you know, we put our faith in man, in man's ability to predict things. But how come we don't put our faith in something that's tried and true? The last one that I want to show you is probably a familiar one to all of us, and that is Jean Dixon, who gained fame because she did predict the assassination of John F. Kennedy. She predicted it. Wow. So now what? You got some credibility. You know, you got some props. But let's go on. She predicted that World War III would begin in 1958. Didn't happen. Predicted the Soviets would be the first to put a man on the moon. Didn't happen. Predicted that the first George Bush would beat his challenger, Governor Bill Clinton of Arkansas. Didn't happen. Right? So what is my point in all this? The next slide. My point in all this is that Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 through 22 says this, and if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? How can we know? How can we know? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath. There you go. That is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt be afraid of him. Instead, we run to him. The Bible said you should be afraid of people that predict the future falsely. And so when we think about how the world flocks to people because they want to know what's going to happen in the future. They want to put their stock in something that someone is going to tell them about what is in their upcoming life. And right? And yet and still, we got a word that I'm going to show you this morning that is sure proof. Is, you know, if nothing else, my brothers and sisters, it should cause us to say, man, there's something about this word right here that's powerful. Because if it tells me, if it talks about, you know, according to some over 100, according to some over 300 things in the Old Testament, and they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, man, my heart, my eyes, my ears better perk up and say, man, I need to have my mind and soul bathed in the Word of God. Because what God says comes true. You go to that next slide. Again, some people say 100, some say over 300 prophecies made about Christ. One guy, Dr. Peter Stoner, the probability of 8 out of hundreds, the probability of eight, of one man fulfilling Jace eight prophecies would be one in 10 to the 17th power. That would be one with 17 zeros behind it. So let me break it down even further, because sometimes we can't stretch our mind to fathom that. So let me break it down in an example. In an example, he's calculated that if you took silver dollars and you put them 2 feet deep over the whole state of Texas, 2 feet deep, and then you mark one, and you were able to shake it up somehow, and you blindfolded somebody, and for them to go, and for the first silver dollar that they picked up would be the one that was marked. That's one in 10 to the 17th power. Say it again. Say it again. You know, I got a vitamin box. It's got 7 days a week, right? And I put my vitamins in each day. And, you know, each day, you know, and you flip, you know, snap the lid back on. And so I'll pop the lid off, you know, take my supplements for one day, pop the lid. Well, you know, it came down to the last day where I had supplements for one day left in one of the boxes. I hit the first one, and it wasn't there. The second one, and it wasn't there. I'm saying, man, which one is it in? Which one is it in? I couldn't even by chance. It was the seventh one that I finally hit, and my vitamins were in there. Man, if I have a hard time on the seventh day trying to find out which box my vitamins were in, you can imagine how difficult it would be for a blind man to pick out a silver dollar in 2 feet across the state of Texas. Somebody said it. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. But yet and still, we see that being the case in Jesus Christ. Let's look at six prophecies concerning the birth. So we're just going to do this. We're just going to look at the birth of Christ. Genesis 3:15. The time of the prophecy is sometimes before 2500 BC. And what does Genesis 3:15 say? It said that he would be born of the seed of the woman. And we read in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. That prophecy concerning the birth of Christ was fulfilled, that it says that he was born of the seed of the woman. In Genesis chapter 12, 2 and 3 and 22, 18, 2,000 years before the prophecy was fulfilled, it says that he would be born of the seed of Abraham. In Matthew 1, 1, Galatians 3, 16, Christ was born of the seed of Abraham. Oh, I'm talking about messianic prophecy now. I'm talking about messianic prophecy. In Psalm 72, written in the 9th century B.C., it said that he would receive gifts. So it said that, you know, we say that the wise men or the magi, you know, they brought gifts to the child. So let me straighten up a couple things while I'm here, while I'm visiting this. And I do it every year just about. So some of you, you can you know, say, well, I already heard this. Let me go ahead and, you know, resume what I was thinking in my mind. But for those of you who have never heard this, first of all, the wise men were not at the birth of Christ. All right? They were not at the birth of Christ. So I tell people all the time that if you have a nativity scene, right? I have a nativity scene.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Genuine Christmas Lights, The Promised Light. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Genuine Christmas Lights, The Promised Light, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Genuine Christmas Lights, The Promised Light. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Genuine Christmas Lights, The Promised Light. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord. Amen.